Welcome to Better Call Saul Before Breaking Bad, a podcast where I, Ent Meslowski, for reasons of obsessive compulsive disorder, force my friend Steve Ignat to watch Better Call Saul and then Breaking Bad in chronological order. This is Better Call Saul Before Breaking Bad. Call Saul.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's riveting, and I mean, they gave just enough story for the first episode, and it was detailed enough to where I mean, and there were a couple of things that I called out. I mean, I knew what was going to happen, but not everything. I mean, it was almost like they gave you that, you know, oh, here's something you're gonna expect. Here's something you're going to expect. And then the next thing was unexpected.
You know, the creator of A Better Call Saul, Vince Gilligan.
Okay.
He also worked on The X-Files.
Ah, okay.
So he knows how to subvert convention.
Right. Nice. Yeah. Nice.
So,
you heard me call out that I thought there was going to be a wreck. You heard me call out that I thought those two kids were going to shake him down.
Right.
Like, it was, yeah, it's crazy.
What do you think of Michael McKean?
Oh, I loved it. I think his character has lost his mind somehow or had an episode and he's mentally ill. He keeps saying he'll kick this thing or he'll get over whatever it is, but they don't mention what it is. So I'm going with a wild guess and saying he's gone insane. Or, like, mad. And he thinks he's doing well. Are they brothers? It seems like they're brothers.
Yeah, I don't know if that's been made clear in this first episode.
Why would you help somebody?
Besides a brother, who would you do that for?
Right? I wouldn't help you like that.
Yeah. That's understandable. What do you think of his office?
Shanty.
Jimmy's office.
I think I heard pigeons.
Yeah.
It was like a little enclosure inside a warehouse or a back room of the nail salon or whatever it was. And, he's probably cheapest he could find. Yeah, it was, I don't know, he looks like he's going to break. Well, he has kind of went to... He was talking about, he told the story to the two kids.
Slip and Jimmy.
Who shook him down, yeah.
Yeah.
And he really got them, I mean, he is a con man. I guess he's trying to be a lawyer instead of a con man. But I think his first taste of convincing people of things was as a con man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I see where the story's going, but I like it. And though he seems a little smarmy at times, but that's his character. Mm-hmm. He's playing a smarmy character. So, but I think he has confidence, but it's just not working for him. I don't know what's going to happen here with this. I mean, he walks into this house looking for those two dudes and looking to, I thought that was the wrong car, wasn't it? It seemed like it was the wrong car.
It was a Mercury Sable.
Yeah.
But it was the wrong Mercury Sable wagon. Yeah.
Okay. What a coincidence.
Right, exactly. It was such a specific car.
Yeah.
How could that have gone wrong?
Back in the 80s, those were a thing.
Yeah.
Sables and Tauruses.
Well, they also don't have brown-colored cars anymore.
No, not really.
You really can't get a brown-colored car. You like the Network reference?
Yeah. Yeah, that was weird. In fact, I don't remember Ned Beatty being in that movie.
Mm.
But, I mean, I don't remember much of it except for, you know, people shouting out windows.
He's the guy, he does that in the boardroom. He's the guy who, like, runs the network.
All right.
That's why he's like, you will atone.
Yeah, I
I don't know what to
think of it, but it's very entertaining.
Yeah.
And for, gosh, you said the kid was at Kit Carson school, or somebody was over by Kit Carson school, and I remember going through there on my way to Arizona, going through that Kit Carson, basically.
Going through New Mexico?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would spend a lot of time in New Mexico, but rang bells.
What do you think of the first trial that you see him work?
Hilarious.
A defense.
And yeah, I thought the funniest thing was, I thought, oh no, they're screwing a cadaver. And then, oh no, they're beheading a cadaver. Oh no, they're screwing a cadaver in the head.
In the throat. Yeah.
That's fucking gross.
I like how he refers to the boys. He's like, near honor students all.
Near, yes. Near honor students. Oh my gosh. Yeah, it was pretty good. Well executed, I think.
Who do you think the woman is in the parking garage?
I don't know. I know she's an associate, and it seems like they've had past relationships that were good, were once good at one time, whatever that relationship may be.
They're familiar.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are. Oh my gosh, wait, there's two names on the matchbook. But then if he's the brother, then she couldn't be his sister.
No, it just says James M. McGill on the matchbook.
Okay. Oh, all right.
And then, yeah, how about that? He can't even use his own name because his name is his brother's name.
What? Oh. Oh.
It's Hamlin McGill.
Yeah. Okay.
Hamlin is the guy who he was talking to.
Yeah, right.
He was trying to get more money out of
it. Yeah. Trying to get 1.6 million or something, whatever. Oh, maybe that was the number. Yeah, that's the number that was embezzled or come up missing from the treasury.
Right. Yeah. So that was why he tried to pull off this scheme.
Yeah.
Was because they went to a different lawyer.
Right. He was trying to work that, which is just strange. I don't see the logic of, look who's here. Oh, it's this, that lawyer. Nah. I mean, unless he was a witness. Maybe. I don't know. Very strange. I can't see the logic in it, but I'm sure the next episode it'll probably answer some questions.
Probably a safe assumption. Any other impressions from the first episode?
I would watch it again. I mean, I would not the same one.
Right.
I rarely watch anything twice, but I would keep watching this. Seems that I will be watching
it. Yes, you will.
But by choice, I would watch it.
That's good. Yeah, what do you think of the cinematography?
Really on point. Very, very much on point. There were angles that I loved. Just out of the ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
It looked more like a movie than television just because of that. I mean, the lighting was really well done. Even in the darkest points or the darkest scenes, it was enough to make everything out. You put the shadows in there, you put the, you knew it was her by her silhouette. I mean, you knew it was a woman and then boom, it's her. Okay, cool. That the kid laying down in the middle of the skate park was like, I didn't know who he was at first, but then, those kids, those little hustlers.
Yeah, and the reveal of, like, how'd you know where to find us?
Right.
They pull back and he just says, skate park, giant letters. Yeah. About that, you notice in the framing that they don't frame things so tight. They frame it almost so that you're like
looking at it from a distance.
Yeah, it's like you're watching something from another room.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Or
just down the street a little bit.
You're eavesdropping sort of on some of these kind of moments. Yeah.
Putting words into my mouth.
Really?
God, Kent.
Yeah, well, that's the way Vince Gilligan tends to do things. His camera angles are, if I had to compare him to anyone, it'd be the Coen brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Really good writing. What do you think of Bob Odenkirk doing a semi-serious role? Like, he's not doing a sketch. This is like an actual person that he's playing.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah.
I'd never really seen him do much else.
I don't know how to answer that one. Honestly, I mean, I know who he is, but it was cool. He has his character down. You know who he is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what do you think of the guy in the toll booth, the guy at the ticket booth?
Oh yeah, no, just bureaucrat doing his job. I'm just whatever. I don't really give a shit.
He's just there for what do you think his story is?
Putting in his time. He's typical 9 to 5 or whatever, you know. Not 9 to 5, but yeah, I've heard every story, whatever. Mm-hmm. Go get another goddamn sticker. Probably a little ruley. I don't always find people like that in my life, but if I do, I usually know how to talk to them where everything's cool. Even if things don't go my way, I'm all right with him. I'm not going to treat him like that.
I don't even think we know his name. He's just a guy in the booth.
Well, he's... God, I don't even know who the actor is, but I've seen him plenty of places.
Yeah. Jonathan Banks.
Shows how much I know.
I'm just fairly well-versed in the, the Gilligan-iverse. What do you think is going to happen in the next episode?
Oh, wow. So, okay, my thoughts on the next episode, because I always look really deep into something. I think something's going to come of... He's going to talk his way out of being held at gunpoint.
He's going to knock the gun out of the bad guy's hand, turn it around, and break his fingers in the meantime.
No, I don't.
He's going to negotiate his way out.
Oh, yeah. But I think there's going to be something else going on. Like, that might be what leads him to other opportunities. I mean, just because I only know a small synopsis. Actually, not even really. I just, from what I know of Breaking Bad, which is very, very little, Better Call Saul was a spinoff from that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I've heard, Saul isn't, he's the guy you call if things are screwed up.
It is the title of the show.
Yeah. And so there's got to be a reason that he's working for criminals.
Speaking of the title, how do you think he goes from Jimmy McGill to Saul? Must be some sort of transformation.
Probably wants to be a Jewish lawyer.
Wants to be a Jewish lawyer.
I maybe it just sounds better, or an alias.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's, he's Jimmy by day and Saul by night.
Mm. So it's his alternate persona.
Possibly. Did they say his full name?
Saul?
Yeah. No, Jimmy.
Jimmy James M. McGill.
M. Okay. Well, M doesn't match up with Saul, so it is a middle name. Stage name. He's a stripper.
Okay. There you go. That's the reveal from the next episode. So he talks his way out, and then he hurries up and runs off to
a party. Yeah.
Which he's stripping at. What do you think his stripper garb is? Do you think he's a stripper cop?
Oh.
Or stripper lawyer?
Ooh, shit, really? Yeah, I didn't think about the role-playing strippers.
Yeah.
Shit. Probably, he's usually has a suit on, so...
Pretends to work in a ticket booth?
Maybe urban cowboy stripper?
Urban cowboy stripper?
Or, James like, McGill. Milestone cowboy stripper? I don't know.
I think that's a solid guess. All right. Anything else you can think of that?
I love that you look at about a 96, 97, 98 Cadillac as he's walking out.
Right.
And no.
You're like, oh, nice.
He's in the little shithole.
Yep.
In a little pile of shit.
Prison. Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah, no, it was Esteem, which I thought was funny. I was like, oh, yeah.
Right.
Of course that's an Esteem.
Right.
I remember when those cars came out, and I thought, really?
You think that has anything to do with his esteem?
Yeah, possibly.
The fact that it's like, it's got one...
Well, it ain't doing nothing for it.
Yeah. It's one door, it's the wrong color. And
the old really? I didn't even notice that. It was just hoopty, like, right away.
I thought it had a red door. Maybe I'm wrong.
Nah.
It hasn't been washed, and yeah, it barely works.
Oh, yeah. Why you don't hear him listen to the radio. Of course, he was making calls, though.
True.
And he's talking on the phone while he's driving, so that's a no-no. I don't know whether it is in that state or not. It's not here.
In New Mexico?
Yeah.
Might depend on how many years ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying
back then, it probably wouldn't have been because it wasn't.
Right.
I mean, because nobody had butters back then. In the late 80s, very, very few people.
Wait, is that... Point. You notice what kind of phone he was using?
It was a flip phone.
Right.
But wait a minute.
But everyone had a flip phone.
No, not in the late 80s.
No, this isn't the late 80s.
Oh, when was it? 90s?
When this show takes place?
Yeah.
It's in 2000-something.
Really?
Yeah, it's in the 2000s.
Okay.
Yeah, because Breaking Bad takes place in 2008?
Okay. I don't know. No, it seemed earlier than that. I think it might have been back in the 90s. I mean, I don't know. I just got that vibe. It was late 90s vibe, or, you know, mid to late 90s vibe. I was saying 88 earlier, so I'm like late 80s. So anywhere in the 90s, what I'm guessing. But I know you know, and you're not going to fucking tell me.
Of course. Well, I mean, you know, you could have those lanterns at any time. Yeah.
You can probably cut me saying fucking out, right?
Possibly. Well,
I don't know if we want
to give it a shot.
Fondly oriented.
The show's not.
That's true.
So,
fuck it.
Exactly.
Cool.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think we're good for the first episode.
Right on. I'm ready for the next one.
And that was Better Call Saul debrief for the pilot.
I love it.
And
great title.
We will catch you on the next one.
See you guys.
Later on.